Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, well, hello, hello, hello. This is Bettina Dawson and Tasma Cameron. Tasma, first, I want to thank you for staying on my behind. It's been a long time since we did a show, and we were really on a roll, but, you know, with my life changes, like, I had to really get together. And I just want to say I appreciate you for staying on me. I appreciate you for supporting me. I just appreciate you for just being there, being a friend completely, totally. Even though and it's weird how we met, but it's like, wow, this girl is really staying on my behind. And it's all sister love, and I appreciate it. So go ahead and introduce yourself, Tajma.
Yes, this is Tasma Cameron. I am a lifestyle holistic blog person. I'm in the process of revamping my entire business from a fashion blog to a holistic blog, and I've just been processing that, and through all that, I'm still staying on Katina, because I'm kind of that type of person that if I commit to something, I'm going to keep on top of the person that I'm committed to, because it's become part of my schedule. So,
and I so appreciate it, because it's like, oh my gosh, like, well, you know, because you're an entrepreneur yourself, you know, we can be our worst enemy because we try to take on too many tasks by ourselves, and we want to do so much. And when I tell you, my schedule became so full within a blink of an eye, and it's like, oh, wait a minute, I'm losing control here. Like, because I have a weight loss program, then on top of that, I have a bulk company. And on top of that, I exercise, take care of my family. And it's like, girl, wait a minute. And then to top it all off, I went and got my certificate to become a, to like book trips and stuff, a travel agent. So I had to put that on hold because I just don't have the time right now to commit myself to that because I'm doing entirely way too much. Now, today our show is going to be about love, life, and death. And the reason why I chose to do this because myself, I struggle with all three, like I always did since I was a child. Yes, I do know what love is, and yes, I do know how love feels. And I'm not just saying in a relationship. I'm just saying, like, your whole circle of your friends, you know, and your family and people that you meet. Like, some of us have a mean, evil, bitter spirit. Like, we don't take the time to let people come in. We don't take the time to get to know one another. It's like, I don't know, it's like society has the whole world screwed up. And life, okay, we're going to go through, like you said, we're going to go through changes, and we have to be prepared for that change. If we're not prepared for that change, we have to slow down, calm down, and figure it out. And death is one that I always been terrified of because my grandmother passed away when I was about 14 years old. And I never really had a chance to deal with her death. Like, I never really had a chance to. So my other grandmother, she got sick probably, I want to say, 14 or 15 years ago. And I really didn't understand what was going on with her. So the approach I took, I want to become a certified nurse assistant. Now, my goal at the time was to get to understand what's wrong with my grandmother, to get to understand what really happened to my other grandmother. And the goal was to become an RN, but I didn't want to do that. It was just way too much. I'm not one that can do long-term goals. Like, I'm a short-term goal person. So with the entrepreneur spirit that I have, I was able to become a CNA and turn that into making a nice, comfortable lifestyle and income for myself. So, what do you want? Where do you want to start with the? You want to start with love, life, or death? Like, which one do you want to start? Like, how do you cope with all three of those?
Well, for me, love is something that I've learned. The only love that I have experienced is from parents being in a relationship, and then the relationships around me. I had to learn within the past year and a half or so that I took a course on psychology, and you have to realize a lot of us only understand love from our perspective of what love is. We don't understand that everybody else has their own different perspective of what love is, and because of their own different perspective of what love is, they aren't going to love you the way that you think that you may need to be loved, or vice versa, because they don't understand it that way, because maybe they weren't raised to love in that format. So the problem is communication, because a lot of people can't figure out that they need to communicate, I need to be loved this particular way, so forth and so on. So that's one. if you wanted to comment on that.
Okay. I so agree. I have, and I'm still learning what love really is for me, because I came from a household to where, it was my world. It's like, okay, this is what you need to do to have happiness. We were kind of raised first with self-love. And a lot of people in society today, they struggle with self-love. And the thing is, what I learned from my marriage, my divorce, my other two relationships is, like you said, we only know the way that we know how to love, and we expect other people to love us the way that we want to be loved, but a lot of people are taught how to love differently. I just want to say the way I was taught love, I haven't found it in any relationship. And for me, I thought it'd be easy for me to date a man that came from a household, two parents like what I came from. But what I learned is everyone's household is ran completely different. So I struggle in relationships because I can say, okay, this is the way my father loved his family. This is what we were taught. Because at the end of the day, people, everybody's searching for love, searching for love, searching for love. But once you get that love, like, how are you going to handle it once it gets to you? Like, you know, like we talked before in the other show, like, now the generation, they don't even love themselves, you know?
Exactly.
Like, there's a lot of people out here hurting, and they're so bitter, and they're so mean, and they're so nasty. And I hate to say it, but it really looked like our culture has too many different definitions of what love and self-respect is, you know?
But see, the problem is this, and it's something I had to learn. I was looking at a set of videos called the Belief Explorer Quest, and in that they kind of basically state, in order for you to figure out these things, you have to look within. I remember I was in my last relationship, and my ex used to always say, "What are you thinking about?" when he was thinking about me. I could never tell him I had a void. It was a exact emptiness that I did not understand my own stuff that was going on with me, because mm-hmm. I never looked within myself to figure it out. So mm-hmm. you have to look within first, or mm-hmm. You're not going to know what that is. I can honestly say right now, I can give you a full list of exactly what I want in a relationship. I want a person that's loyal, family oriented, they can have an open-minded conversation with me. I can build them up. They can build me up. They're willing to chase you and isn't just willing to think that I'm going to come to them. I've spent too much time doing that. You've got to come to me and prove to me that you're worth it. And those types of things surprise me. You have to be the yin to my yang type person, or else. And those aren't heavy relationship goals. They're just, that's what makes a relationship work.
Yeah, I can agree with that, but I'm just going to disagree just a little bit with we're all looking for loyalty. And I'm not saying that there's not a lot of loyalty out here. A lot of people don't understand what loyalty is. I learned that
right.
From just, like, a lot of things. I just struggle with loyalty from other people. I was mm-hmm. raised to be loyal because I look at my father as being a very, very loyal man. I never heard my father gossip about people. I never heard about my father judging people or just anything. His whole focus was, I made some good choices in life and I made some bad choices in life. It's life, but I'm okay. You're going to be okay. Like, if I did something wrong, my father would say, hey, listen, he might be upset, but he would say, listen, this is what happened. We'll sit down and talk about it. He didn't try to make me feel bad or make me feel like I was less than because I made the wrong choice. He's like, no, this is wrong, and this is what you did was wrong. I mean, even in my marriage, what I did wrong, my father told me. And when I tell you, I'm a daddy's girl, I was so mad at him that day because it's like, wait a minute, you're taking his side. And I didn't want to come out and say it, but as I got older, it's like, no, he's not taking his side. He's telling me the truth. This is what happened. This is what you did wrong, and that wasn't right. So I want to say in my marriage, it was a lot of gossiping, people saying this and people saying that. And then we struggled because he was Jehovah's Witness. And, you know, we just struggled with religion and stuff like that. I just want to say that I really didn't care what my husband's religion was. I didn't. But at the end of the day, I was loyal to what I believed in. And that's the thing, like a lot of people, they have disagreements on religion. And for me, it's okay if you want to believe this and believe that. That's fine. But practice what you preach. Don't say that, oh, I'm not doing this because of my religion. And then you're out there doing something else that you shouldn't be doing. So that's why I kind of back away from other people's beliefs in religion, because I can only believe what I believe and I can only do what I know what's right for me. It's just like even with death, like everybody just handled it like so many different ways. But what I did learn as I got older, because I started studying because I wanted to become, and I'm going to say when I get older, like I want to help people with marriages. I want to help people with relationships. I want to stop divorce because I'm a person that been through divorce. But now once I sat down and I read like all these things, like, oh, wait a minute, I was wrong. Because when we go into a marriage, your marriage is for better or for worse. And a lot of people don't, they like the for better, but they don't like the worst part. So with that being said, society doesn't tell us the things that we're really going to have to deal with. You're going to have to deal with sometimes your husband might stray away. I'm not just saying husband because there's a lot of shady women out here too. And I don't want to say shady. I'm going to take that back. I think that when you're not comfortable with yourself, when you're not comfortable with your partner, that's when you start going out searching for somebody else. So I think that with relationships, friendships, communication is key. Like, I just believe that people that are not loyal to their mate or to their friends, it's something with themselves. It has nothing to do with you. And a lot of us think that, you know, it has something to do with us, but really, it has nothing to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so what do you want to go to next?
Are we going to go to, what was it, death? I guess we can go to the death because we only have a couple of, not, we don't have that much more time. But, or do you want to do life first?
Yeah, we can, let's go to our death because that is like a very touchy subject for a lot of people. And yeah, you know, as I get my schedule together, I want our show to be a little bit longer because me and you are both talkers and we can both connect on like many subjects. So, like death is like a hard subject for a lot of people. And I know, while me and you were talking before, you went through different mood swings and different things because you lost your mother. And, you know, I agree with you. I suffered through the same things also. So how are you dealing with that now? Like, how did you deal with Thanksgiving this year?
Well, my bad turn point is the anniversary was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it was yesterday. She passed away at 2 o'clock in the morning between the 3rd and the 4th, or the 4th and the 5th. I can't even remember now. I just know it was like a Sunday morning or something like that. But so between Thanksgiving and Christmas has always been difficult for me. But the way I used to handle it was not acknowledging it.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't. And by not acknowledging it, I mean I wouldn't celebrate Thanksgiving. I would not celebrate Christmas. I'm that person that would stay to themselves on that day, even if I was in a house with other people that did. When I was in a relationship, that was fine because I was surrounded by that person's family. But so I didn't really think about it too much. But outside of that, I spent time by myself.
Okay.
And this year, I found the more I came into my spiritual side, the more I realized. I was looking at a video with the blogger Taryn Guy, and she was making the point of saying that spiritually, if you believe in spirit and all that, sometimes the spirit will want your attention, and sometimes it's just to say, acknowledge that I even existed. And in that point, you kind of realize this is the first year I even thought of my mother on her birthday. I usually forget her birthday or Mother's Day. I usually forget her, but this was the first year that I thought about her on her birthday. And I felt calm that day because of it.
Okay.
So, Thanksgiving, it was awful in feeling, but I don't think my emotion was more towards that. I think it was more towards the situation of what has been happening lately in my city. I live in Baltimore, so as you know, with all of that stuff, it's a whole other conversation when you talk about the Freddie Gray and all that type of stuff. But you can bring in the death part in that. A lot of people are getting killed and are dying, and it just brings a lot of heavy energy. And I try to stay away from that heavy energy, but it's hard not to be in that energy when you're seeing it and it's on social media and it's everywhere, and new shootings and death.
Yes, it's like it surrounds you. It's like the more you try to get away from it, it's like it's everywhere. So I understand that.
Which kind of makes you want to focus on your spirituality, focus on life, focus on things dealing with life instead of focusing on the negativity. 15 people got shot today, 20 people got shot today. But you want to focus on life. What can you do with life? The positive things in life. And I was looking at something recently where they were talking about what if more people, when a person died, celebrated that person's life instead of focusing on the fact that they're dead?
Right. I can agree with that. That's one thing that I learned when I was doing CNA, but I actually learned that when I was working with hospice with one of my clients. She gave me a book to read because even though I was in that field, what they teach us is that you're not supposed to get attached to the client. You're supposed to treat it as a job. And I always thought that that was so cold-hearted. Like, if you're working with somebody for a whole year, how in the world are you not going to be attached? And if you're providing for somebody, how can you not do it with emotion? See, I think that's very cold-blooded and very cold-hearted. So me, I connect with all of my clients. I took time out with them. But going back to what you said, I read in the book that you're supposed to celebrate someone's death. You're not supposed to, you know, flip out and cry and act all crazy and stuff like that, because sometimes people are ready to leave this earth. And one thing that I did learn too, a lot of people do all that emotional stuff and all that stuff. And sometimes I wonder if it's out of guilt, because what I told my children is, and this is one thing that me and my mom disagree on. I want to say my mom's family, I'm trying to say it in a not so negative way. I want to say, how can I say it? It's like depression, like sad stuff. It's like they marinate in it and they think that this is the way it's supposed to be. And, you know, as I got older, I had to, like, research and, like, just get in tune with myself. Like, no, this is not how it's supposed to be. So my mother is not very happy because there was a situation that happened with my goddaughter's grandmother. And my goddaughter, all I know is I got a phone call saying that she lost her great-grandma. And then at the funeral, she was told that her grandmother passed away as well. And then within all that little bit of time, they handed her her father's ashes. And I had to step back, and I was like, oh, my gosh. First, I was angry because I'm like, why would they do this to this baby? Why would they do this to her? Because not only does she have to deal with her father being gone, she has to deal with her great-grandmom being gone at her funeral and then getting the bad news that her grandmom is gone. And it took me, I don't even know, I think God probably just came down and put a cape or something over me, because when she told me, I wanted to bust down and I just wanted to cry. But see, I'm getting emotional now thinking about it.
I remember everybody kind of got missed this back when Whitney Houston passed away.
Mm-hmm.
People don't realize that Bobby Brown's father had just died within a few days before Whitney
mm-hmm.
passed. Like, he was dealing with his father's death, her death, and then he couldn't see his daughter at the funeral. So,
yeah, and see, and that's the thing. People want to jump to conclusion. So I had to get it together, get my thoughts together, because first I wanted to know, where is her grandmother? Like, how can I help her find her grandma? And so, you know, I just asked her for her uncle's phone number, and I called him, and, you know, I explained to him, you know, who I was and everything. And when I sat down and talked to him, then I started to understand why he made the choice that he made. He said, I just had to bury my mother, and I don't have the finances to bury my sister, so I donated her body to Science Care. And I said, oh, okay. And I said, well, we're trying to figure out what to do, and I need to figure out what to do for my baby, because that's my she's my everything. And he said, okay. So he gave me the number and stuff, and I told him, I said, I understand why you made the choice, but before I didn't understand, because, you know, my mom's always like, oh, my gosh, oh, why would they do that? Oh, they want to cut her body up, blah, 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 blah. And it's so negative. And then once I talked to him, and then once I called Science Care, and then once I looked up their information and talking to the people, and I said, oh, okay, I understand why he did this. And so my mom's not very happy, because, you know, I told my dad, I said, I'm going to do the same thing, because for one, it helps other people with their education, and it helps try to figure out what's going on or what happened to the person. And then it just helps, like, all the way along the board. And for two, I don't want all that stress put on my children. It's like, love me. Okay, I said 90 seconds, but we're going to keep rolling, because remember the last time it told us our session ended and it recorded our whole conversation. So we're going to keep on rolling with that. So, you know, I don't want to put that stress on my children. So I'm trying to explain to my mom, like, I don't want this. Like, you love me now while I'm here. Don't wait until I'm gone and, you know, and be falling all out and stuff like that. So I tried to explain to my children why I chose what I chose and what I want them to do. And they're still at the age, they're like, oh, this lady's crazy. So it's like, you know, I just don't want that. I mean, it's mm-hmm. just too much. So I can definitely agree with you on that. And then as far as blocking it out, I did the same thing. Like, I still have not dealt with my oldest aunt's death. It's like, I don't know, just for some reason, I just, some way, psyched myself out in my head and was like, oh, she's at home. She's at home until I get to the graveyard, because my mother loves going to the graveyard. And I'm just like, oh, she's at home. And she was in my dream last night. So I was like, oh, and I tried to figure out, you know, what, you know, like, I was trying to figure out, like, what was she doing? Because she was doing something. I think she was baking or something. And I'm touching her, and you know, and I'm feeling her, and I'm like, what are you doing? Why are you outside in the cold? So it's like, it really depends on you as a person, how you deal with that. So for me, I'm like, oh, okay, because her birthday is coming up on the 31st. And sometimes when I'm stressed out in my dreams, my grandmother comes, and then it kind of, for some reason, it calms me down. It makes me get refocused on, like, okay, you're not going to give up. This is what you need to do. And just seeing that, and it's like, oh, okay. And I wake up with a happy face because it feels so real. So
right.
I can agree with you on so many things of how to deal with it. So, wow. Yeah, is that a, okay, yeah, I didn't hit the end session yet, so we're still rolling. So
okay.
You said that, now, was it your mother's birthday? When was your mother's birthday?
My mother's birthday was November 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Thanksgiving was the 26th.
Mm-hmm.
The anniversary of her death was yesterday, and then Christmas is coming up.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a lot. And you said you were, what, 17 when she passed away?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, so when I look and I hear these stories, because, like, my goddaughter looks at me as being a very strong woman. And I look at her and I'm like, wait a minute, no, you're the strong one. Because, you know, I'm learning from other people, like, how to deal with situations. Because it's like, you know, I had my parents all my life, and I always think, like, oh, my gosh, I really don't know what I will be doing. Like, am I going to lose my mind? Like, am I going to flip out? And it's like life throws so many different balls and situations and scenarios at you that you really have to know what's going to happen when you do that. And I'm trying to teach my children, well, I'm not going to say I'm going to teach my children. I learned from my children that some situations don't need a reaction. Like, you don't have to handle things in a negative way or, you know, just be so mad and, you know what I mean? It's like, no, it's not that serious. Calm down. And before, like 10 years ago, well, I'm not going to say 10 years ago, probably 18 years ago, I can hold a grudge. It's like, no, I don't like that person. I'm not talking to them. They did this and they did that. And when I tell you, that's like the worst way to be because you carry so much weight on your body. And just holding a grudge alone is adding to stress, you know, is adding stress to your body.
Yeah, I watched or was listening to somebody speak, and I heard it more than once, where the person pretty much was saying that when you hold anger, anger is like toxic. It's like poison in your system. But when you let things go, it's like healing to you. So it's not as easy as one might think to say, oh, I'm just going to let that go. Some people, it takes a minute to let something go. I recall I was looking at a video where a person was talking about spirituality and the way that our bodies work. And the way that our bodies work is that if we have a thought, whether it's a negative or a positive thought, if we hold on to that thought longer than 7 to 10 seconds, our superego brain will begin to spin that thought into either something. Well, it'll begin to spin it into a negative.
Right.
Then it will into a positive. So it's all about how we think about things, because if you don't think positively, you can end up driving yourself crazy. And it's like, for instance, the thought of you call somebody and the person doesn't answer. If your initial thought of that person when the person doesn't answer is, oh, they're not answering because they don't want to talk to me. If you don't let that thought go within 10 seconds, your mind will start thinking, oh, she don't want to talk to me because she's acting this way, and she ain't never really going to talk to me, and your mind just go crazy. But if you think
right.
a positive thought, the person is probably just busy and didn't hear the phone, you let it go.
Yeah, or I can add to that because I said that to my one friend. And it's funny because we're still friends after 28 years. But he will always say, like, why? Why do you do that? And I know why I do it is because my mother do it. And I inherited that from my mom. It's like, wait a minute. And the thing about it with me and him is, it's like, hold on, wait a minute. I need to talk to you right now. Like, where are you at? Why aren't you answering the phone? And it's like, hey, you know, when he says, like, well, maybe I couldn't get to the phone at the time, or maybe something was going on at the time. Why do you always think so negative? And, you know, now I just laugh. I'm like, oh, I don't even know. Because, I mean, to this day, I still don't know. But it's like, wait a minute. You pick this phone up and you talk to me right now because I need to talk to you. And it's just weird. So what you said, I can agree on. That one thing that I know happens since, you know, I'm terrified of, you know, my parents being older now. And since I'm terrified of losing them, if they don't answer the phone, I immediately start panicking. I start panicking. And, you know, I'll call my son, like, oh, where's Nana at? Like, where is she? Did they answer the phone? Go upstairs. And he's like, Mom, calm down. Because the first thing is when my parents don't answer the phone is, I'm like, oh, my gosh, something happened. You know, like, what am I going to do? Like, I wasn't there. And the only reason why that happened because my mom always, every situation, every scenario, oh, you're going to miss me when I'm gone. Oh, well, you're not answering your phone, and I could be somewhere dead. And she would do that ever since I was a child. So now it's a struggle for me to try to get that out of my head. Like, okay, well, wait a minute. So, you know, I have to say, wait a minute, you know, stop. And, you know, like I told you, I also take care of my grandmother. So when my grandma don't answer the phone, my heart just drops. And, you know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. And that's because my mother planted that, and she planted that thinking in my head. So now that I'm 42, I'm trying to learn to get rid of that negative thought, you know. And it's just like, if you if that's the only thing that you know, it's so hard to get rid of that negative thought. And, you know, even sometimes my grandmother will say, oh, well, you know, I might not be here. You know, I have to say to her, like, Grandma, stop talking like that, you know. And what I really want to tell them is, can you please stop talking like that? Because, you know, even though I try to be positive about it, it's stuck in my mind. And, you know, I have to tell her, okay, well, Grandma, you're 90 years old. Like, where are you going? And stop waiting for, you know, what day is it going to be. Like, you're here. You're blessed. Like, she had a chance to watch me grow up. She had a chance to watch my children grow up. Not only that, she had a chance to raise all five of her children. So I have to let her know, like, no, you're blessed. Stop doing that. And, you know, I just don't – I think that's just the way that – some of the older generation is. It's like, oh, my gosh. But every time I take her to the doctor, she's only in it for 15 minutes. And she said, oh, I must be doing something right. And I'm like, yeah, you are doing something right, because she's still able to live in her house, cook her own food, still remember everything, like, because she has a sharp mind. So, you know, I tried to tell her, like, these are things you need to be thankful for. This is what you need to be thankful for. This is what your blessing is. Like, some people don't get a chance to experience anything that you're experiencing.
Right, because we are only promised pretty much 70 years on this earth.
Right.
Somewhat. And some don't even make it that long.
Yeah.
But, so anytime after that, there's a blessing. And then if, for instance, I was looking at Facebook not too long ago, it was a picture of this older woman, and somebody posted, like, this woman is 131 years old.
Wow.
Could you imagine living 131?
Well, I can't imagine that. That's just a blessing. And I think I'm starting to get it with her. It's like she's 90 years old. She doesn't, she lost, wait a minute. Actually, I think my grandmother's sister is still alive. I'm not sure how old she is. But, you know, she buried her mother, and I think she buried one of her brothers or something like that. So I have to remind her that I know you saw a lot in your time, but look at where you are now. Like, you're still here for a reason. Enjoy the things that you can enjoy now. Because, you know, like I said, I work with, you know, older people. Well, I'm not even going to say older. I think my youngest client was, I would say, 60 years old. And they had, no, the youngest was about 50, and he had Parkinson's disease. And then on top of that, he started getting a little bit of dementia. So I was trying to explain to my grandmother, you realize, like, how many people younger than you, they are starting to lose their memory, and they can't remember, like, some of their family members. They can't remember, like, a lot of things. I said, so right now, you are, like, so blessed. And I hope that if I live that long, that I can be just as blessed as she is, because, you know, that's always my fear, is waking up one day and not remembering. You know, it's like all these things that I hold on to is like, oh, my gosh, I have to let it go. I said, because I'm not going to make it to C45. If I hold on to all this negative thinking, like, oh, my God, I'm not going to remember my kids one day, or this is going to happen, that's going to happen. So, so the way I raise my kids is, I'm like, just enjoy life. Like, don't take everything so seriously, because, you know, one day mommy might not be here. And the thing is, they look at me as like, oh, you know, she's being mean. But no, I raise them to be able to stand on their own 2 feet. And, well, I raise them all to be entrepreneurial, because that's just what I am. And it's like, you know, and I tell them, like, no, I'm not saying nothing's wrong with having a job, but once you get that job, that's your stepping stone. Always invest into yourself. And I only say that because, you know, with anything in life, things come and go, things come and go. And I notice in the work industry now, it's set up, it's based on who likes you and who don't like you and stuff like that, or how much you're going to get paid and how much you're not going to get paid. So,
or the color of your skin.
Right. And so,
even though they do not say that.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on where it is, but I'm starting to see that more now. It's the color of the skin. But I also want to go back and say, our people make it hard for our people. Because, you know, it's like, when you see some of our people on TV, they're acting like fools. And the way the world is really set up, it set us up, honestly, I would say, to, they really have this picture of us like, oh, all of us are uneducated. You know, all of us are ignorant. And really, at the end of the day, they fear our culture of rising. And
yeah,
you know,
because you gotta actually look at it like this. Anytime you look at these TV shows, reality shows of these black people in powerful positions, and they act in ignorant and ghetto, it was something I was looking at recently where another person who's in the industry trying to come up as a comedian, and he was saying, those people don't have control of how the show is edited.
Right, they don't.
They just, so whether they act very professional in professional situations, they're always going to cut the parts out where they